welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead this morning. We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture, and we're actually concluding our series this morning, our In Christ series, as we're looking at who we are in Christ. And this has been our main text as we've gone through this series. It says in James 1, if you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty and are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it, they experience God's blessing in all that they do. And so kind of what we've been saying is that, you know, throughout this series, being a hearer of the word and being a doer of the word. A lot of times we think in terms of hearing and doing that it's just, you know, stuff that we're doing or, you know, as far as living right or being nice or doing good things. And, you know, but there's another part of, you know, being a doer of the word that also involves your divine origin. In other words, I look into that law of liberty and I see looking back at me a reflection. You know, he said over 200 scriptures that will reflect back who you are in Christ. And as you see who you are in Christ, we don't want to, you know, forget who we are and go our way. Because that's a lot of times what happens is we see our divine origin in Christ. Cool, that's amazing. And then kind of go on and forget and live real life. And so the whole purpose of this series is to take who we are in Christ and bring it into our real life. And really let it become part of who we are, is what the scripture says. You're putting on that new man who's renewed in knowledge. It's a process. But we know that this is part of what it means to be who we are in Christ, to look into this mirror and not be a forgetful hearer. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to do something Jesus did. Before Jesus began really the fullness of his public ministry, there was an event that happened. He went to the synagogue, and the scripture said the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. He looked in that certain spot. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down. All the eyes of the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. This was really the event that really launched this public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he started his public ministry ultimately as he began to find where it was written of him, really in the scriptures. He said, what was written, and then he said, the scripture has just been fulfilled. In other words, he's saying, that right there, that's me. He found himself in the scripture, and he declared what he saw right there. Now, of course, they were upset. They had different ideas of what that Messiah would look like, all right? And so, but Jesus knew. Jesus didn't just know who he was by the Spirit, who he had, that he'd been born of, but he knew who he was by the Word of God. He could see himself in the scriptures. And what Jesus did, kind of that exercise of finding yourself in the scriptures and declaring that's who you are, is what I want to do this morning. I want to have a little bit of an exercise. The title of the message simply today is Knowing Who You Are in Christ. In other words, when I began the series, I said, you know, we started out with accepting who you are in Christ. I said, this is not a knowing who you are in Christ, you know, message. This is accepting who you are. I'm trusting you kind of know who you are, you know, and then we went on to defending who you are. Yeah, you kind of already know who you are. We're defending that. You know, we're gazing into it. We're speaking it, all right? But I'm kind of coming to full circle right now as we've kind of been through these different aspects. And I really want to conclude this series by a good, clear gaze that we've been kind of indirectly referencing throughout some of these other processes. So this is going to be a good chance where we're going to just find ourselves, who we are in Him. We're going to see it in the Scriptures clearly laid out. Now, I can't exhaust 200 Scriptures in a message this morning, but what we're going to do is we're going to kind of fly over in some of these areas of who we are in Christ that we can see clearly, because it is amazing. And this is literally, the message this morning is going to be like taking that mirror of the Word and just seeing yourself clearly in this morning. I believe that by the end of this message, you're going to see yourself with a real clarity and realize that when we're talking about speaking and defending and accepting, these are the things that we're speaking, accepting, and defending. Who we are in Christ. And there's a narrative that this will kind of flow and follow into. And so as we look into, first of all, knowing who you are in Christ, it begins with the words of Christ and what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit." In other words, he told Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you need to have something happen to you. You have to be born again. In the same way that your natural birth was an event, there's going to be another event in your life. You're going to be born of the Spirit. Your natural parents gave birth to your natural being, your natural person. But when you're born again, it's going to give birth to something new, to a spiritual being. It's going to give birth to the Spirit." Of course, Nicodemus couldn't fully wrap his mind around everything Jesus was talking about at the time, but Jesus was letting him know clearly, this is something you need to have happen. You know, you must be born again. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, unless you're born. So it's really significant, Nicodemus. This really needs to happen to you. You need to be born of the Spirit. So you get this concept, okay, born of the Spirit, all right? And we know, and this is kind of, we'll kind of take that as we kind of walk through this narrative here. When you're born again, knowing who you are in Christ, one of the things that you find out first and foremost when you experience this born-again experience is that you are a child of God. But as many as received Him, in other words, they called upon the name of the Lord, believed in their heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, they've received Him. What happens when that happens? To them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they're born of God. So I received Him, I called upon His name, and that's when I get this Nicodemus experience that Jesus refers to, this rebirth of the Spirit. It happens as I call upon His name. I'm born, not in a natural sense, but I am born of God. There's a supernatural rebirth that takes place. And the first thing that identifies me in that new birth is child of God. So as I'm looking into this mirror, and think about this now, and these things that we're talking about right here, these are things that are done. They're finished. They're already on the inside of you. When you called upon the name of the Lord, you became born again, and you're immediately in the family of God. You are a child of God. So as we look at this person who's come into the world, we find out a little bit more about that person. We find out that not only are they a child of God, but they're a new creation. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So this is one of the first primary glances that we see when we look into our divine origin in that mirror. We find out that we are born again. There is something different. In other words, if you can think of your life before Christ on this side of the cross and think of your life after you received Christ, over on this side of the cross, before you knew Him, before you called upon His name, you were a spirit being, just as much as you're a spirit being now. But that spirit being over here had a previous moral, spiritual condition that was born in sin. In other words, not only was your flesh, you know how your flesh pulls against you to do the wrong thing? Your very spirit was pulling at you to do the wrong thing. Your spirit was corrupted with sin. Your flesh, we know, our flesh, we know we have to deal with, we got to put our flesh under, but your very spirit being was not a child of God. It was corrupted by sin. It separated you from God. Your spirit being was isolated from God. The born-again experience, when it happened, your outer man stayed the same. Your brain, your mind, your thought patterns were pretty much intact. But what changed was your spirit being changed. You became alive in your spirit. You became a child of God, a new creation altogether. This is what Jesus was describing to Nicodemus. It must happen to you to enter the kingdom of God. You got to have this experience where your new, the old moral spiritual condition passed away, but the fresh and the new has come. On this side of the cross, I was just as much a spirit now as I was then, but something's different in my spirit. My spirit is brand new in Christ. Yeah, my body fights me. And yeah, I got old ways of thinking. But on the inside, that's who I am. That's just as real, just as sure as Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. They're both equally true. They're both equally sure. You are brand new. And we find out something more about this new creation, too, as we delve a little deeper. You know, that new creation was created in true righteousness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. That's what we're doing this morning. Which was past tense, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So not only is that, we see that old moral sinful condition passed away, but when you were born again, that new creature was created in righteousness and true holiness. In the same way that the DNA in the fallen flesh has that nature, you know, the law of sin and death, which is in my flesh, that nature of the law of sin and death that we're putting under, we're fighting, we have the nature, we have the DNA of righteousness in this new creation. This new creation was created in righteousness and true holiness. That's why you could say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a true statement. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was actually created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So as we put this new man under the magnifying glass a little bit more, we zoom in 300 times, we see that he's created in righteousness, in true holiness. He's not just new, but he's righteous new, created. The Bible says that he could present us before God holy and without blame before him. You're without blame in the presence of a holy God. That's speaking to that new creation that's in Christ Jesus. These things are true. Yeah, these things blow our mind because our mind isn't in perfect sync with that. And that's why we're exhorted to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, putting on the new man. He knew we would need this. He knew that we'd need to be renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. But when who we are in Christ right now, this is who we are. We are absolutely a new creation, created in righteousness, child of God, new creation, created in righteousness. This is a done deal. What am I doing? I'm finding myself in the scripture, and I'm saying, today in your hearing, the scripture is fulfilled. If you called upon the name of the Lord, if you've received him, he gave you the right to become children of God. This is fulfilled. This isn't something that's going to happen. It's fulfilled. You are in Christ. You know, it's one thing to accept what Jesus did for me on the cross, which is what I did when I got saved, but it's another thing to accept what Jesus did in me when I got born again. Two different things. I couldn't accept what he did in me when I got born again because I wasn't born again when I received Jesus. I had to accept him as Savior so that I could be born again, so he could give me the Spirit so that I would know those things that have been freely given to me by God. But once I become born again, then I got another step. I got to accept what he's done in me. It's another level of acceptance. Cool sounding stuff. Check the box, go on. And it's like, no, I'm not going to check the box and go on. I'm going to say, cool, awesome, and I'm going to accept it. I'm going to gaze in there and say, yeah, that's true. There's no feeling, emotional thing that has to bear witness to it. It's the word and the spirit that bears truth. That's why when you say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, your feelings could be totally, well, you know, but the spirit in you says that's true. That's true. You have a witness of the spirit. And like I said, there's a process from a witness to an understanding to a revelation of this. It's process there, but it starts with the witness. And so I can say these things, and regardless of how I feel, I can sense the witness of the Spirit, and I know that it's true. These things are true. What else do we know that just automatically happens as a result of being in Christ? You're complete in Him. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic, for they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system, not with the anointed truths of the Anointed One. For He is the complete fullness of deity in human form, and your own completeness is now found in Him. This is another one of those divine origin truths that just, when you get this one, there's like a rest in this one. You are complete in Him right now. Everything you need, everything you are, everything you've been ordained to do, God, when you got born again, it was a completed work. In other words, He didn't do there's a work that He's doing through you in this earth, is His plan for your life, but there's a finished work that He's done in you. You are complete in Him. Let me put it this way. Let's say it is the love of God. Okay, the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Wow, really? Okay, I guess so. That's what the Scripture says. You get an understanding of it. You come over here and you keep gazing, all of a sudden you get a revelation. Wow, I have the love of God. I can walk in that supernatural love. When you see it over here, what's important to understand by revelation, what revelation does do and what revelation doesn't do. When I get a revelation of the love of God being shed abroad in my heart, that doesn't do anything on the inside of me. All revelation does is unveil and reveal that completed work that was already done in Christ. All right? Revelation doesn't create the love of God. It just shows me that it was always there. I had a witness that it's there. I got an understanding that it's there. Now I can see that it's there. But what the completeness is done. You are already complete in Christ. You are already a new creation. You're already a child of God. You can get these by degrees of revelation. But there's a game over sense. There's a game over Scripture. You're complete in Him now. You don't have to jump through people's hoops and do this and this and this to prove to me that you care, to prove to me the things that can take you away from Christ and say, no, I'm complete in Him. I love Him. I'll love as He tells me to love, but my eye is on the ball. I'm satisfied. I have peace with myself. Yeah, I'm a work in progress. Yeah, I'm working. There's weights and sins that still easily beset me. Yeah, I'm overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Those are all things in progress. I get that. But I'm doing those things. I'm overcoming from a larger place of a completeness in Him. In other words, I don't need God to do anything more. I'd like this old Keith Green song. It says, my son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing to what's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith. My peace will come to you. Do you realize that? This stuff is just true in Him. Today in your hearing, this Scripture is fulfilled. There's nothing you can do to further complete your own completeness. You are complete in Christ. There's a certain rest in that. There's a certain rest in that. You can do great things for God. You can bear a lot of fruit, but it will not add one iota to your completeness. All right? You are complete in Him. When He had you born again, He did the whole works on the inside of you. Yeah, there's a process of getting it revealed, but it's done. And there's such a beautiful sense of establishing and settling in that. So not only am I complete in Him, but I'm also loved by God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? These are all horrific human natural tragedies and things that we can experience and go through. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Think about that. Whatever's going on presently in your life, whatever is present, nothing about what is present can isolate you from God's love. It can't separate you. Whatever you're presently going through, good, bad, whatever, the thing that it all has in common is that it can't isolate you from God's love for you right now, nor things to come. There's no thing you have to fear of the future. One thing that you can know of the future, whatever it is, it won't be able to isolate you from God's love. It still won't be able to separate you from God's love. Height, depth, created thing, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that full spectrum. Life, death, powers, principalities, created things, present, past, there are things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now think about that new creation. Think about that complete, finished work, child of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. These are things that are true about you right now. No matter what your struggle is, no matter what you're overcoming, no matter what your failure was, no matter what your uncertainty is, all those things cannot separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love how Romans says, where our sin is abounded, his grace is much more abounded. There's a lie of the devil that will say, nope, that's it, too much. Yep, you promised, you failed. Nope, 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 nope. Yes, his love and his grace is sufficient. You are loved by God. That thing can't separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what you are in Christ. You are loved by God. You are a new creation. You are a child of God. You are complete. You are loved. These are just things that you were born into as a result of the new birth. This is nothing, there's no spiritual achievement in this. This is all part of grace. Again, when we were an unbeliever, we believed what Jesus did for us at Calvary because we knew we needed eternal life. That's all we knew we needed at that time. And we received eternal life. Now we believe what God did in us through the new birth. And we believed we are loved by God. We are a child of God. Praise God. So those are things that we believe about, you know, knowing who we are in Christ. Those are just present being things, okay? There's also an aspect of knowing what you have in Christ, okay? These are things that God has given to us as a result of being his new creation, loved child of God. All right, we are his child of God love. I am a child of love. That's a great song because you are a child of love. Knowing what you have now in Christ, okay? You have your children, but there are things you can give to your children. So these are some things that he gave to us, the Holy Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is such a beautiful picture. He gives us his spirit, and the first thing his spirit, Holy Spirit, does is say, yeah, you know that whole thing about believing on Jesus and becoming a child of God? It's really true. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Child of God. Yeah, I know. Warts and all, as far as the stuff you got to overcome, but you are right now a child of God. You're a brand new person in Christ. Any of that stuff is, you're overcoming. You're renewing your mind. You're putting your flesh under, but you are a child of God. It's who you are. You put that spirit of adoption where you're crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. That's what we're crying out in worship. There's a worshiping of the Father. The cry, it's a spiritual heart cry that comes from our spirit being. But he gives us the Holy Spirit. And when I'm putting these things out here, like I said, this is a flyover. If you kind of think of a Christmas tree and this is a branch, the Holy Spirit, you can hang a lot of stuff on this branch. You know, you've got the power, love, and a sound mind. You've got the anointing that abides within that teaches you all things. You know, you've got the strength of the Holy Spirit that you can do all things. There's so much that goes along with having the Holy Spirit, okay? But I'm just saying this as, again, kind of a flyover of what you have. You have the Holy Spirit. But one of the primary things he does, he says, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. When you get in fellowship and tune with the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear child of God. I am a child of God. It's what he does. He gives us power to put to death the deeds of the body. He gives us power over those things. But he's given us the Holy Spirit. This is what I have in Christ. This is what I'm gazing into. This is what I'm, again, cool, go on to the next thing. Cool, it's cool, and I accept it. Just as sure as I accepted what Jesus did for me, I'm accepting what God did in me through the new birth. He gave me the Holy Spirit. I am a temple of God. I'm being renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'm spending time with something I already know theologically, which again, this is the thing that tripped me up. Why do I have to just stay here and gaze and look? I know this. Let's learn something new. And the things of the Spirit, you find out they're not that way. It's not about learning something new and learning this. It's letting your roots grow deep in what you already know. You're letting the roots of the love of God go deep down and it roots you and it grounds you and it establishes you. And there's no new theology here, but you just know it deeply. And you know it deeper because I've accepted it and I've spoken it. I've declared it. I've defended it in the face of things that have come against my mind. It's truth I know, and I'm just staying here and I'm letting him go deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm accepting that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in me. You know, like the Hebrew writer says, he himself has said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I won't fear. What can man do to me? What is he doing? He's just letting his roots go down what he already knows, that the Lord will never leave him, forsake him. We have the Holy Spirit. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, what should we say to these things? We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. And so there is that letting these truths go down deep. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And there are times when you're going through certain things that you need to be reminded, okay, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm letting my roots go down into that. Also, the love of God. You receive the love of God. We kind of alluded to this before. Now, the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, this is a powerful truth. And sometimes it's kind of cool, go on. But I'll tell you what, these are where you go from glory to glory right here. You know, the natural man thinks forgiveness is weakness. You're vindictive, you know, get even, you do all that. The spiritual man doesn't. He gets a revelation of the love of God, but it's not from a place of weakness. It's not from a place of timidity, or I don't want to confront, or all that kind of bad rap that the love of God sometimes gets as being weak and frail. There is a powerful truth where you realize God has given you his capacity to love. That means he's given you his capacity to forgive. That's why, again, this is like a Christmas tree branch. We're just going to string a few bulbs on this one. But as you think of Ephesians 4:29, you know, be kind, you know, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It goes on to say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor be put away from you. How can I do that? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You mean I'm supposed to be just like God? It goes right on in Ephesians 5:1. It says, yes, be an imitator of God and walk in love as dear children. How can you imitate God? How can you have that capacity? Because that capacity has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And again, this is where we got to decide, am I going to check the box, say cool and go on, and then just struggle with bitterness and unforgiveness? Or am I going to stay here, and am I going to pray like Paul prayed, my revelation of the width and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of God which passes knowledge? And that sounds like a paradox. How can I know something that passes knowledge? You know it by revelation. You know it by a perception. You know it because the Holy Spirit shows you things. So these truths can be surface truths or they can be deep truths. And again, this is kind of the humility of Christianity. It's not just about learning everything. It's about taking what you already know and letting those roots grow deep and say, yeah, I know the love of God. God, how can I do that? You know me. Help me to love you like that. I know it's true. I know it's in me, Lord. I want to see it. I want to go. What am I doing? I'm praying for revelation. I'm praying for revelation, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of things that I know. But the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened that I could see that. That love has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Lord, that's really true. That's in me. Now, these are things that are true. They're true. These are things you have in Christ. You have his capacity to love. You have his capacity to forgive. That's why we said, the New Testament was written to new creations. You couldn't say something like this to a person who's under the law, who's not born again, who doesn't have the love of God shed abroad in their heart. It'd be, oh, it's just too hard. But over here, when you realize who you are in Christ, and if things, and this is where I'm challenged. When my Christianity seems too hard, it's like I'm called back to that mirror because I'm trying to do it from this place. But when I take my place of who I am in Christ, it's not too hard. His commandments aren't grievous because I'm doing it from a place of who I am in him. Because I'm doing it from who I am in Christ. How can I forgive that, Father God? You can, Ed. You can forgive that. You can forgive even that. You know I have the capacity. Lord, I want to love like you love. I want to forgive like you forgive. These are things that I realize that I have in Christ. I have that love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And so as I'm just kind of, again, you can put a string a lot of things off that branch. There's other things that you have. These are things that are just given to you. So I have the Holy Spirit. I have the love of God. And as a result of this, he's given, as a result of, you know, you're being a child of God, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. Through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped corrupt desires that are in the world. And kind of a cross-reference to that in 2 Corinthians, for all of these magnificent promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Do you know he's going to be that establishing work? He's establishing you, establishing with you who you are in Christ. It's a completed work. He who began that good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work in the Spirit is completed, but there's an establishing of who you are in him. That's a process that you find out through these exceedingly great and precious promises. You begin to overcome because God has promised you in his word. He's given you these powers that if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's an exceedingly great and precious promise. And we kind of talked about that partnership with the divine nature. You find out a promise, and at the beginning of the partnership with the divine nature says true. Amen. Green light. Yes. Witness. Truth. Truth. I don't understand it, but it's true. You know? And that same Holy Spirit will then begin to, you know, reveal to you and help you compare spiritual with spiritual and give you an understanding of that promise. And as you continue to partner with the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit will give you revelation. The drop cloth will come off. And when you get that, there is a confidence, there is a boldness, there is a knowing that all these little voices that used to kind of trip you up over here and what if and what about there, when you're here, they don't trip you up anymore. It's a whole other position. It's a position of revelation. But there's promise by promise by promise. As you begin to take those promises of God in the Word of God, you know, we're in a new covenant based on better promises. And you begin to find out that, yes, he loves me. He takes care of me. I can trust him. What I've committed to him, he's going to keep against that day. You know, when I pray, I can ask God. I can trust him. He's going to give me the wisdom that I need. He promised that he would, and he will. And I begin to take him at his promises. I begin to find out that these promises are true. And then when that begins to happen, this is something I have in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the love of God. I have promises that he gave me. He gave them to his new creation children, that you can escape the corrupt desires that are in the world. I mean, promises that make you free from the law of sin and death. Things that used to have a grip on you and wigwag you around over here, they don't have a grip on you anymore. They lose their grip. They lose their influence. They lose their voice because there's another voice that's stronger and clearer and louder of who you are and what you have in Christ. Magnificent promises. And these promises are mine. You know, I'm taking God at his word, and I begin to see and experience those promises that are in that I have in Christ. These are like Christmas gifts that I'm opening up and I'm discovering all along the way. Not only that, but here's kind of that word we had this morning. Here's another thing that's been given to us, a great high priest in a throne of grace. Seeing then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who died on the cross for our sins. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is something we have that is so profound. I think the Holy Spirit wanted to reemphasize it this morning. You know, your car has a gas station that it can go and get gas, all right? There's things that you can go to get tuned up, but you, child of God, new creation, have a throne of grace with a great high priest 24/7 that you can always come boldly. And look at that, to obtain mercy and find grace to help. Those are two different things. You need mercy when you need mercy. You need grace when you need grace. Mercy is the forgiveness, the cleansing. Oh, God, I need mercy right now. I confess, I receive cleansing from unrighteousness. I'm sorry I said that, I did that. I want my conscience clear with you. You know, I don't just want my conscience clear with God so I feel better. because I don't have a guilty conscience, because I don't want to feel bad. This isn't about me not wanting to feel bad. This is there's a higher purpose, because I want to walk in fellowship with him. Amen. I want my conscience clear so I can walk with him. Not to feel better, but so I can walk with him. That's the purpose and the functional purpose of the mercy in time of need. He's always there. That throne of grace is given to us. He didn't just die on the cross for our sins. Right now, he ever lives to make intercession for us. We've been given an intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, praying for us 24/7 on our behalf, the one who knows the number of hairs in our head, believing with us to complete that good work he began in us. There's a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been given to us, this great, this place, not only but mercy for forgiveness, but grace. Grace. You know, there's different kinds of grace. There's a saving grace that you get saved by. There's also a standing grace that gives you the strength to go through things. And there's a serving grace that you'll minister out of, okay? But a lot of times when we're here, when we're coming, we need that standing grace. Having done all to stand therefore. Lord, strengthen me with might by your spirit, my inner man. I know what to do. I know the answers. I just need grace. I need strength. I need help. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2, he says, because he has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And that literally in the Amplified says, he can run to the cry of those who are tempted. In other words, when I'm in the middle of temptation, it's not me isolated choosing between God or the devil. I can have that temptation right at the throne of grace and say, God, I'm in temptation. I need help right now. I need grace to stand. I need grace to do what I know to do. Help me, Father. Give me grace. When I think of Jesus at Gethsemane, he knew what the will of the Father was. He knew, okay, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And there can be situations where everything is out you is screaming one thing. Say, Lord, I know your word says this. Give me grace, give me strength to do your, not my will be done, but your will be done. There can be those Gethsemanes that you have at the throne of grace, not in isolation. Jesus was not in isolation from his Father in his Gethsemane. He was in Gethsemane, but he wasn't by himself. The Father was right there. He was coming before his Father. He was in fellowship with his Father during his Gethsemane. And we have that throne of grace during our times too. It's there for us. He's given that to us. Praise God. Not only do I have his spirit and his love and these promises, but I got a throne of grace. I got a place I can go. I got a place that I can go where there's mercy and grace in my time of need. I just love how he set this thing up and gave us really what we need. And then finally, he's given us something else. For though he's given us spiritual authority. He's empowered us. He's deputized us with his authority. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, he's given us something. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and he's given me these promises, but he's also given me this authority that I have, given to me. Powerful weaponry that I have to do battle against the power of darkness. When Satan comes in as a roaring lion and you're experiencing roars, you know, one of the things about loudness, that word roar, when it's really loud, sometimes you can't even hear yourself think. It's loud. It's distracting. It's overwhelming. It's intimidating. You know, whether it's voices in your head or just intimidation or fear, it's loud. It's roaring. And if I'm on this side of the cross, that's a very intimidating place to be. But when you're on this side of the cross, even though it's loud, even though it's intimidating, you got something. I'm not just a child of God getting beat up by the devil. I'm a child of God with authority, with weapons of my warfare. He's given me something here. You understand? Jesus, when he died on the cross, says he spoiled powers and principalities. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and he did. On this side of the cross, those powers and principalities were not destroyed. On this side of the cross, they are destroyed. The work of Satan looks very different from that side to this side. He's loud. I get it. I know it. But he's defeated. He's loud. But there's something he had here that he no longer has here. And that's what you, by faith, begin to see through. Hey, yeah, it's loud. Yeah, intimidating. Yeah, plays on fears, plays on the past, plays on hurts and all that kind of stuff. I get it. I mean, that's what he does. But when you're a child of God on this side, you realize I have something. Even though it's loud and intimidating, I'm not helpless here. He gave me something. He gave me spiritual authority so that I could be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that I could stand in the evil day, that I can put on the breastplate of righteousness and remind myself, I am a child of God. I am righteous in him. There's a belt of truth that says, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. There's a helmet of salvation and assurance, praise God, that I know where I'm going. A blessed assurance that's an anchor for my soul, that big pictures everything and reminds me of whose I am and where I'm going. And there's a sword of the Spirit that's the spoken word of God that Jesus Christ himself swung in the face of that demonic attack, in the face of the loud noise in his head, and said, it is written. And changed the narrative from that roar to what the Word of God says. No new theology here. You're just declaring what you already know. There may be something intellectually frustrating about that, but that's okay. The Spirit in you will go, yeah, amen, amen, amen. It's true. Praise God. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And you begin to speak and declare that spiritual authority. That's been given to you. That's a gift, praise God, that he's given to every child of God. Again, these are just like branches. There's a lot of places that we can go with that. And then finally, what he's given to you, an eternal inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. What does that mean, begotten us again? Born again, born of the Spirit. We're begotten again to something, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow. This is something else that's in your future that you've got waiting on you, that the Bible says it's like an anchor again to our soul. It's like an anchor to our soul. When this whole shooting match is over, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm heading. Reserved, and Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that's reserved in heaven for you. You got something waiting on you. We understand natural inheritances and all that. This is an eternal inheritance that the parents lay up for the children. The Father laid up an inheritance for us. I mean, this is an amazing thing to realize that. And sometimes this can be a real encouragement right now in the days that we're living in and things that we're going through, to sometimes encourage yourself in the Lord as you see the big picture. Man, God loves me, he's for me, he's with me, and this is all culminating into this. I remember when my mom passed away, and we were standing around her, and I just remember coming out of my spirit. I just said, Father, into your hands, we just commit my mom's spirit to you. And at that point of her passing, it was like, all I could see is this. Praise God for the cross. Praise God for eternal life. You know, sometimes we're down, our battles down here, we kind of don't always keep track of the value of eternal life. We know it theologically, but just it's not in our right in front of us all the time. But I'll tell you, at the point of passing, at the point of big picturing, we can say, "Eternal, I have eternal life. I have it in him. It's reserved in heaven for me." Can you imagine what is reserved in heaven? There's things reserved in heaven for you right now. I remember thinking about that too, even in connection with my mom. I said, Lord, it's amazing to think that that I'm going to actually see my mom sometime. There's going to be a reunion there. And the Spirit of God said very specifically, yes, Ed, there's an appointed time. I have an appointed time for that. I was like, wow. I knew it theologically, but when the Spirit spoke, it was a revelation. Yes, there is a fixed point in time that's going to happen. Wow, that's a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We have that. That's given to us as children of God. Then finally, just to say what you can do in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amplified, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Again, I've been brought back not to just remember this, but to accept this. Say, yes, Lord, I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I can. I can forgive all things through you who strengthens me. I can pray what you need me to pray through you who strengthens me. I can step out and do what your Spirit is leading me to do through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not doing this in my strength. I'm doing this in his strength. In other words, I can do what he's called me to do because he's given me that ability to do it. That's how his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, through that strength that he gives us to do it. I'm not trying to figure it out for God, but God is doing it through me. It's strengthening me in it. I can live out God's plan. For we are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, those new creations, created in righteousness and true holiness, created in Christ Jesus, born anew. That's cool. Why? That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. What can I do in Christ? I can do his will in the earth. I can gaze into that. I can declare it. I can accept it. I can defend that. When things will come against me, say, no, you can't do this. You can't. I can do all things through Christ. I can do what, as his workmanship, he's ordained me to walk in. I can walk in the good works. Again, as we're declaring it, as we're defending it, as we're gazing it, as we're speaking it, as we're accepting it, the roots are going deep. There's revelation of that truth. This process of witness to understanding to revelation, that is the process of the roots going down deep. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you will continue in my word, you will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. You see that process in there. I know I'm a creation. I know he has a plan for my life, but I'm continuing in that plan. I'm knowing that plan. He's prepared it ahead of time. I'm going to walk it out. And Lord, I'm going to walk out everything you've ordained me, called me to do. I accept that. I believe it. I can pray in Jesus' name. That day you'll ask me nothing. Most surely I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You can ask. You can speak. You can declare. You can move mountains down here. That's what you can do in Christ. You can pray over the nations. You can pray over your county. You can pray over your life, over your family. You have authority in prayer to do things. You are God's mouthpiece in the earth. When you're saying it is written, when you're declaring what he says, that is him. The authority of his words are coming through you. You're that vessel, but you have the power to pray. You got the power to get stuff done in the earth as a new creation in Christ Jesus with magnificent promises. You can do this stuff. This is part of just knowing who you are in Christ. You are a child of God who can make a difference in the earth. You have the power of prayer, and you're changing things. He gave you his name so you could pray in that name. Not only that things will be given to you, not only to receive, but that your joy may be full. What is that speaking to? That's speaking of partnership with God. That's talking about co-laboring together with God. What makes your joy full? Not just that you got the thing, but that you prayed in his name and there's relationship and there's fellowship and you're working with God in the earth and you're getting things done. That's what makes your joy full. There is nothing, no more greater job satisfaction than doing what God has called you to do in the earth. There's a satisfaction of joy that we have in Christ to pray, to get things done. Not only that, we have the power to overcome the world through faith. Whatever is, whatever. I like it. It doesn't even say whosoever. It says whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Man, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again, child of God. What does that mean? I can overcome the world. There's nothing this world can throw at me that I cannot overcome. What have I done? I've believed that Jesus is the Son of God. Praise God, I've done that. It's not because I'm so smart that I can overcome the world. It's because I've been born of God. What is that speaking to? That born of God isn't speaking to my spiritual maturity even. You understand? That born-again spirit, it's speaking to the finished work of Christ. It's speaking to the new creation. It's speaking to the completeness. It's speaking to the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking to that righteousness that you have in Him. It's speaking to those exceedingly great and precious promises. It's speaking to who you are. That's what's so powerful. Praise God. You know, no matter how spiritually mature I get, it doesn't change the completeness of what's been done to me. All the maturity does is it gives me a greater awareness of what's been done, which makes me more effective and bear fruit, but it doesn't change the finished work. Your maturing is your renewing in the spirit of your mind to discover that completed work. Whatever is born of God, little old me, yeah, little old you. You might be over here in your understanding of what that is, and you can get over here and be renewed and walk in a powerful revelation of, but that doesn't change. Right now you're new. Right now you have that power. Right now you have those promises. And when we see that completeness, it motivates us to want to gaze and grow up spiritually to know who we are. But as I'm growing up spiritually, that completeness isn't changing. You're just as complete as a spiritual baby as you are in a spiritual adult. You have just as much love of God. God doesn't give you more love. You have all the love you're going to get. You have all the righteousness you're ever going to get. You don't become more righteous when you learn these scriptures. It's there. It's just a discovery process. It's a gazing into the mirror. It's accepting. It's defending. It's holding fast to that. And then you more effectively walk in it. But whatever's born of God overcomes the world. Why? Because you've got completely everything you need in Him to overcome the world. You have the authority to preach the gospel. This is what we do in Christ. When Jesus came close to them, He said, "All authority in the universe has been given unto me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." I mean, we got the power to preach the gospel right now that happened after the resurrection. Think about that. All authority in the universe has been given unto me. There was a place that Jesus, there was an authority Satan had over here through the fall of man, all right? But when Jesus broke his authority and broke his power, that authority was given back to Christ. The authority we lost through our failed decision, when God, He didn't just forgive our sins, He restored an authority that we lost in Christ. That authority has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have authority to preach the gospel. And a lot of times we think, yeah, but this day and age, you know, cancel culture and all that, you can't. The gospel has been cancel cultured from the very beginning. You know, they were telling, don't preach in that name, whatever. You know, you decide whether we obey God or man. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We have the authority in the earth to preach the gospel, to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for Door of Life as we're in our spiritual building project, that layer of preaching the gospel, how we can get beyond the four walls and begin to speak and declare, compel them to come in. That is very much my heart. That's what we're here for. We have authority. What can we do in Christ? We can do all things through Christ. We can preach the gospel through Christ, who strengthens us to preach that gospel with boldness and with clarity. Praise God. I'll tell you what, the Lord is going to just begin to do His work in His way. And it is going to be an amazing thing. And that's what I believe that we're walking into. I begin to see who I am in Christ. I'll tell you, it just begins to come out of you. You know, it's not like, I should probably, you know, share the gospel. I just believe as we gaze into that mirror, as these things become deeper in us, Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a lot of times we're trying to get the mouth to speak when it's not even in the abundance of our heart because we're supposed to speak. But I think when we begin to get these things in the abundance of our heart and who we are, it just comes out of us who we are. It comes out, the truth in love. Again, remember, we're speaking by permission. I'm not just saying what I know. That's me speaking on my own authority. I'm saying what I have permission to speak, right? That's the truth in love. And again, if I've ever done that, sorry. If anybody in this church has ever hurt you in that way, sorry, that's not my heart. We're all learning, we're all growing. Sometimes you got to forgive and go on. You know how it is in a natural family. You got siblings, all right? And you learn to get along, you learn to grow and go on. But I'm just saying, as we preach the gospel, God's going to show you, and you'll be amazed. Well, God will give you the authority to say, the authority to do. But you're going to be speaking it by the Spirit of God. And then finally, we're here to proclaim the praises of God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're here to do what we did this morning. We're here to do what we did with our lives. We proclaim the praises. There's something about a praise God. There's something about a testimony of the goodness of God that, you know, it's just, there's a spirit of prophecy even in the testimony of Jesus. And we begin to testify about him. We proclaim his praises. We proclaim his goodness, what he's done for us, what he's done in us. That's what we're called to do as the people of God, to see ourselves. I'm not just a new creation. I'm part of the people of God, and I'm going to proclaim his praises. So again, just kind of summary, what we're talking about, knowing who you are in Christ. Like I said, I didn't really want to start this series with this big mirror. I wanted to allude to it, but then kind of finish it out with a fresh look, a fresh glimpse of knowing who you are in Christ. Yes, I'm a born-again, new creation, child of God, complete in him, loved by God, child of God. What I have the Holy Spirit, I have the love of God, I have these amazing, exceeding precious promises, complete with authority and an eternal inheritance, equipped with that. What can I do? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can pray in his name, I can move mountains down here, I can preach the gospel, I can proclaim his praises. You know, this is who we are in Christ. This, again, is why I've just been kind of stirred up to come back, take a little time to lift up that mirror. Like I said, for me, it was, I know this stuff, been knowing it for years, but it's one of those things that I've been just kind of challenged by the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, Ed, I know you know it, but you need to gaze. You need to speak it. You need to defend it. You need to accept it, personally accept it. You know, if somebody was to say to you, you'd ask somebody, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And they said, well, I was born in a Christian home, so I'm part of a, you know, go to a Christian church. So, yeah, I would identify myself as a Christian. Would they have answered your question? No, they wouldn't have. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? So, yes, he died on that cross. I believe it. I've taken him for my own Savior as the Lord of my life. And that's what the Lord is dealing with me on. Okay, it's great that you've accepted what he's done for you at the cross. Now you have to accept what he did in you through the new birth. Is the his love of God been shed abroad in your heart? Yeah, yeah, according to my calculations, Romans 5:5. But this is where the Lord is saying, no, okay, it's good that you know that, but I want you to step up to the plate and say, I accept the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I believe that. When Jesus had me born again, in the new birth, he put his love in my heart. There's a capacity to forgive. And I may be speaking out ahead of my revelation. You can speak out ahead of your revelation. That's great. Speaking out ahead of what you know here at Revelation is what helps bring revelation. You can speak it out because it's true. That's why you can speak it out. You don't speak it out once. I can only say it once I get the full revelation wrong. You can say it on the authority that it's true because God has said it. And as you're saying it, you'll continue to get the revelation. You'll get the second sermon of the Holy Spirit while you're speaking it. But for me, this whole series was about that. That part where Naaman dipping 7 times in the water, that's the one I needed. That part where you're letting the wheat and the tare grow together instead of trying to figure out all my wheat. No, I'm going to get established as a good wheat, a good head of wheat. I'm going to be obedient and let those roots go deep in who I am in Christ. And then from that place, I'll begin to pull up some weeds. From that place, I'll begin to speak to some things. But there is a gazing, there's a speaking and permission to speak those things that I know are true. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just your word, that your word is truth. And we just thank you that we can confidently declare your word, not because we fully understand it, but because we know it's true. And the Holy Spirit bears witness that it's true. Praise God. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for that mirror that reflects who I am. I am a child of God. I'm complete in you. I am loved by you. I thank you for that mirror. It shows me what I have. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I have the love of God in my very heart. I have magnificent promises that give me everything I need that pertain to this life And I thank you for spiritual authority. You've given me tools. You've given me weapons. I'm not helpless in the face of those roars. I can roar back with the sword of the Spirit, with the spoken word of God. Instead of being confused about what I don't know, I can boldly declare what I do know. And in that place, you will bring clarity to my mind, peace to my soul. Thank you, Father God, for that mirror that shows me what I can do. I can do all things through Christ. I can do the good works you've ordained me to walk in. I can pray in Jesus' name and move mountains in this earth. I can preach the gospel and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And I can proclaim your praises as a person who's been called out of darkness and into your marvelous light. I give you thanks, Father, for this mirror. Holy Spirit, draw me back and show me those things that I need to gaze deeper into. Thank you for it, Father, as you establish me in who I am in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, good morning. Just appreciate your staying with me. And I know this was kind of a longer series and service and whatnot, but I just felt like we needed to bring a good flyover continuity of what we're talking about. So as you kind of go back, and just so you know, too, we always have all the sermon outlines are available online. They're PDFs you can download. So I kind of wanted this message to be a bit of a reference tool, too, you know? So you got a little bit of a kind of new creation 101 of some of the high-level stuff that you've got. So you can kind of go back to this stuff and just kind of remind yourself, okay, hey, this is who I am in Christ. This is what I have. This is what I can do. Holy Spirit, give me fullness of revelation on this stuff and what it means and all that. But this is really just kind of more of meant to be a tool to put in your hands this morning so that you can have this as you go. Remember what you're defending. Remember what you're accepting. Remember what you're gazing into and speaking. Praise God.